Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome back, everybody. It's so good to see you, and looks like God has given us another beautiful day. And this morning we gather to continue our time of retreat, our time of mission together. I'll continue to talk about the Eucharist this morning, especially the sacrifice of the Eucharist. So let's give ourselves to Jesus now as we continue on our walk, on our journey, on our time of closeness with Jesus, and let's open our hearts to his word to us today. Jesus, you were sacrificed so that we could be saved. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, you rose to give us new life. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
And one day you're going to come again to take us home to heaven. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Amen. Remain standing, we'll have our prayer. Lord, fill our hearts with the spirit of your love so that we may please you by our thoughts and love you in our brothers and sisters. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is a proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
And after Jesus had preached, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his house. And he entered and reclined at table to eat. And the Pharisee was amazed to see that he didn't wash up before the meal. And the Lord said to him, "Oh, you Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of the cup, but inside you are filled with plunder and evil. You fools, did not the maker of the outside also make the inside? But as to what is within you, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming back for our second morning, and thanks to you that are listening to the tapes. I want to continue to talk about Eucharist this morning. You know, this is the year of the Eucharist still, and we're concluding our year together in this time of retreat. And it's interesting, Pope John Paul II wrote an encyclical about the Eucharist about 2 years ago to begin this year of the Eucharist. It was called Ecclesia de Eucharistia. Ecclesia, you're the Ecclesia, the assembly of the Eucharist. So we are the assembly of the Eucharist. And one of the reasons why he wrote it is he said that in some circles, this has simply become a meal, a fraternal banquet, as he put in his encyclical. But it's more than that. And he said, in many places, we've lost the sacrificial aspect of the Eucharist, and it's become just this happy little celebration, which it is. It's a celebration, but it's more than that. It's a sacrifice, and let me talk about that here this morning. We're going to get a little serious, but that's okay. I remember I was writing my book on the Eucharist this year, the beginning of this year and last year a little bit, for the year of the Eucharist, and it's called Eucharist, a Living Sacrifice. And underneath is a subtitle. I always subtitle my books, and it's called Getting More Out of the Mass, because I've found that many people go to Mass and it becomes ritualistic and rote, and, you know, they kind of go through the motions and they're not really getting anything out of it in many ways. So I told one of our Indian priests, you know, we have a foundation in India. And for about 25 years, we've had many priests come out of India as Passionists. And one of them was visiting this year, and I told him, I said, "Father Martin, I just wrote a book on the Eucharist called Eucharist a living sacrifice, how to get more out of the Mass. And he looked at me and he said, I thought Mass was about giving, not getting. And I thought that was really powerful because it's true. You know, we come to Mass and we want to get. We want to get the body and blood of Christ, and we want to get blessed, and we want to get the Holy Spirit in many ways. And that's true. You know, Mass is about getting, but it's also about giving. It's a sacrifice. We have to understand that at this altar, notice how we have the crucifix up over the altar, and I think that's appropriate. Because what we're doing here is celebrating the sacrifice of the cross on Calvary. Now, Protestants have a little bit of trouble with Mass, many of them do, because they think that we are sacrificing over and over again. Actually, we're not. Theologically, what we're doing is we are representing, it's a representation of the one sacrifice of Calvary. I mean, Jesus, once and for all, the book of Hebrews tells us, offered himself on the cross for our salvation, okay? So at Mass, this isn't another sacrifice. It's one sacrifice. And in a way, remember H.G. Wells, the time machine? In a way, this altar is like a time machine. And what we're doing is we're going back in time to that one moment of Calvary. We're grabbing that sacrifice, that efficacious, powerful, salvific act of Jesus, and we're bringing it right here and now, right into the present. So it's not another sacrifice. It's a representation of the one powerful sacrifice of Christ. So we have to understand that Mass is primarily a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice of salvation. It's the one sacrifice of the cross. And I thought about the word sacrifice. I remember it was Gandhi who said, you know, Gandhi, the great spiritual prophet, he said that worship without sacrifice is a sin. And I think that's powerful, because a lot of people want to worship, but they don't want to sacrifice. And Romans 12:2 calls us to be a living sacrifice. So let's talk more about sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice the lambs and the goats and the bulls and all these animals. It was a pre-shadowing of the one sacrifice of Christ and that efficacious, blood-filled sacrifice. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, the book of Hebrews says. But sacrifice basically means that there is a giving up of self. There's a cost. There's a suffering involved in some way. That's what a sacrifice is. And I thought about, you know, today, modern day, what's a sacrifice? And you know what I came up with? You know, last night I was watching the baseball playoffs, and, you know, I love to play baseball. They actually have that word used in baseball. It's called a sacrifice fly, or a sacrifice bunt. And if you've ever watched it, what will happen is there's a guy on first base, and the manager asks the batter to give himself up for the good of the team. Instead of swinging away, he will bunt to try to get that runner from first base to second base. And so it's a sacrifice bunt. And what happens is he gets thrown out. He's sacrificed himself for the good of the team. He's erased. But in baseball, they so honor, I love this. Baseball so honors that sacrifice that when you sacrifice yourself at the plate, you're not charged as an at-bat or you're not charged as an out. It's just as if you didn't even go up to the plate. So in other words, your batting average doesn't go down because you sacrificed yourself. Even baseball recognizes the value of a sacrifice. And then I was thinking about this. You know, mothers are very sacrificial. Last night I talked about fathers, you know, and my dad and how he sacrificed. Well, mothers are very sacrificial. Those of you grandmothers and mothers, you know, when you raise kids. I was golfing. I was in Houston. I get a lot of my stories from golf. And I was playing golf in Houston, and it was one of those rare occasions that I hit it off the fairway. And my ball was over in an empty lot there, you know, near the green. And I'm walking over there, and I'm looking for my ball, and all of a sudden, this bird, you know, it was standing over there where I thought my ball was. Bird in a start whoop 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 and starts coming after me. And I go, why is she in such a dither? You know, what's wrong with that bird? And it's just like, then she'd stop and go back over, and I'd start to walk over. Where's my ball? Whoop 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 and start coming after me again. And I looked, and you know, the bird didn't have a whole lot of sense, but she built her nest right there on the ground in an empty lot. You know, not a favorable place to build a nest. And that bird was a mother bird. And that bird was coming after big old jolly green giant me, you know, and she was willing to sacrifice her. She didn't care how big I was or how mean I looked and the fact that I had a club in my hand. She didn't care about all that. What she cared about was her little babies, and she was willing to die for those babies. See, that's sacrifice, the sacrifice of a mother. There's cost. There's selflessness. And I want to tell you, you know, I've asked you this week, we're all about a closer walk with Jesus. You have to understand that the walk that we're on is a journey. And it's a journey from selfishness to selflessness. And that's what we're celebrating here at the sacrifice of the Eucharist. It's the selflessness of God that crucifies the selfishness of his people and calls us to be a living sacrifice. So sacrifice is really important. And of course, what we're celebrating here at the Mass is a sacrifice, the one sacrifice of Christ. I remember when I went to study in Rome, you know, 2 years ago, I had a most excellent opportunity. I took a sabbatical year after preaching on the road for about 11 years. I went to my provincial and said, you know, I need a little time off to study and to rest. You know, I've been dealing with unruly people on the road now for 11 years, and especially those people in Grass Valley 2 years ago. And so they let me take a whole year. It was wonderful. That's when I wrote my book on golf, you know, and I got my handicap down. It was great. But I went to Rome for 3 months, and it was 2 years ago at this time. And I studied theology and scripture and liturgy and ethics and, you know, all these different disciplines. It was very beautiful. And I studied right by St. Peter's in Rome at the North American College. And we made these little side trips. And I remember one of the side trips I made with a couple friends of mine. One was a bishop and a priest. And we went by train to a little town called Orvieto in Italy. In Orvieto, some of you are shaking your head, yes, apparently you've been there. There's a big cathedral there. And they have a cathedral, and they call it the Chapel of the Bloodstained Corporal. And apparently what happened in the year 1236, and there's many, for some reason in Italy, there's all kinds of Eucharistic miracles. Must be the Italians, I don't know. But there was this Eucharistic miracle that happened there in Orvieto, or right near Orvieto, and now they have the corporal hanging. You know what a corporal is? Let me see, do we have it? This is the corporal right here. This white cloth, okay? And it's corporal means body, and it's underneath the elements. So while the priest was elevating the host and the wine, all of a sudden the host started dripping blood, and it dripped right onto the corporal. And so now it hangs in this cathedral in Orvieto, big, majestic cathedral. And they have a side chapel where it is, and you can go in there and pray. And, you know, you can see it. And I've been to other places in Italy where there's Eucharistic miracles. Lanciano is one, where actually the host turned into flesh, and they've done scientific studies on this. The University of Siena looked at the host, and they did a scientific study on it, and it was heart tissue, believe it or not. And then the blood turned into, the wine actually turned into real blood. Of course, we believe it is, but I mean scientifically, they did a study on it, and it was type AB blood, the rarest blood form that is in a human being. So in other words, you ever hear of the precious blood of Jesus? It's very precious. And so what I'm saying here is that when I saw that, I was very impressed by it. And I began to reflect, you know, what is God saying in this Eucharistic miracle? A lot of people like to see these miracles and say, oh, it really is the body and blood of Christ. And, you know, that's the natural thing. But I think it goes further than that, because of course we believe it's the body and blood. We don't need to see it, I hope. You know, we believe that this is a miracle that happens here. So what is God really saying? And it came to me as I wrote my book and as I reflected on it, I think God is saying, as well as, yes, this is the body and blood of Christ, I think God is saying even something more. I think he's saying this, and I can say this as a priest. I think our altars are too pretty. And this is nothing against the Altar Society, because, you know, I know you did a lot of work on this. But it's white, it's antiseptic, it's pretty, it looks good. But what we're doing here is celebrating the murder of the Messiah. We're talking about torture, betrayal, murder, suffering, and death. And oftentimes we lose that. And in this blood-stained corporal, I think God was telling us, don't forget what you are celebrating. That Mass isn't just a meal and for everybody to be happy. It has a claim on us, and it makes tremendous demands. That this is about sacrifice. It's about blood. It's about murder. And, you know, to me, it goes well with what we see in the world today. We see hurricanes, we see people displaced, we see people dying in earthquakes, we see mudslides, we see floods, you know, all these different things, dysfunctional families, divorce, betrayals, adultery, abortions, pornography. This is our world. And in the middle of all this, God is saying, look, what you are celebrating here isn't so clean. See, we can be hypnotized by an easy Mass. And I think that's why people are bored. And that's what turns our young people off. It's like, oh, you know, what is that? You know, what is that that we're doing? Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're proclaiming to God that the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus, his total self-giving, and the fact that he was willing to die for us. And it has a claim on us. And that's what we have to understand. Romans 12:2 says, offer yourselves to God in Christ as a living sacrifice. That's your spiritual worship. So really, you know, he demands our worship. God loves us to praise him, but we are called through him, with him, and in him. That's a point of the Mass that we'll be celebrating pretty soon. It's always in Christ, in that one sacrifice, to be a living sacrifice. This is a living sacrifice. It's alive. And you're a living sacrifice, and I'm a living sacrifice as a priest. So, you know, I thought about Oscar Romero. You've probably heard about Bishop Romero 25 years ago. Bishop Romero was in El Salvador, and he was kind of a bookworm bishop. Wasn't all that involved with the people. He was more into academics and different things. And, you know, here he is in El Salvador. Now the people are being oppressed by the government and by injustice. And by, you know, their labor was being put down. They weren't able to form unions or make much money. And the government didn't want any of them to progress or to grow or to come into a better place. So some priests were speaking out about this. You know, some people say, well, you know, the church shouldn't be involved in politics. Well, when people are being oppressed, the church needs to speak out. And many priests were speaking out. Some of them were speaking out about this injustice. And they were being killed, murdered, martyred for this. Well, Bishop Romero, you know, finally, it was starting to tease his conscience some, and he began to get involved, and he began to see what was going on in the people's lives, and he began to speak out about it, because his conscience was bothered, and he began to realize what Mass is and how it relates to the people, and that you can't just remain silent and be religious without... You know, true religion is helping people. You know, there's religion and there's religion. So he began to speak out in favor of the people so that the people would be able to have justice and a just wage and be able to earn money and raise their families. And, you know, the government didn't like it. The powers that be that were making all this money didn't like it. And then one day, as you know, as you've heard the story probably, Bishop Romero was celebrating Eucharist, and just at the point where he elevated the wine in the host, he was shot right through the heart, and blood splattered all over the altar. And I have to tell you, the blood of Archbishop Romero on that corporal speaks louder to me than does the blood on a corporal from the 13th century, because I already believe that's the blood of Christ. But what I need to see is that the people of God are sacrificing their lives for Christ. And Archbishop Romero is one of many martyrs who have given their lives for Christ, who have taken seriously what Mass is, that it is a sacrifice, and that it's not just all about what I receive. You know, and as we go on during this retreat, this is a serious thing, yes. But I believe that as you give selflessly, That's how you receive. In a little while, we're going to sing that song, A Prayer of St. Francis. You know, it's in dying that we're born to eternal life. It's in giving that we receive. And I'm here not just to tickle your ears. I really want you to have a closer walk with Jesus, and I want you to receive. See, when I was in Rome, there was all kinds of different churches that we would go to. Churches everywhere. You know, every street corner had a church, St. Agnes and St. Lawrence and St. Peter's and, you know, all these different saints. And most of them are martyrs. Of course, a martyr, the word martyr means witness. They witness to Christ by giving their life, by shedding their blood. And, you know, we can take that for granted. That's a deep thing. I've often reflected myself, gee, you know, what if I have to die for Christ? Can I do that? In a way, I have, by becoming a priest and traveling and living out of a suitcase and dealing with unruly people. But, you know, what would that really be like to give your life? I love life. You know, I love golfing. I love being with people. I love living. To give your life for Christ. Wow. Reflect about that. And so we build these big churches that immortalize the martyrs. Because, you know, one of my favorite is Maximilian Kolbe. If you ever heard of him, he's a Franciscan priest in Auschwitz, Nazi concentration camp. A man escaped, so they lined up 10 prisoners, and they were going to starve them in the starvation bunker because one man escaped. And one man broke down and started crying, and he had a family and everything. And Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward. He could have been shot on the spot. But he stepped forward and said, I want to take his place. And the commandant was so confused that somebody would actually do that, he didn't shoot him, he let him do it. He went into the starvation bunker, and he died of starvation. You know, can you imagine? You know, what a beautiful man. And the man that was, he took his place, was at his canonization. You know, talk about something beautiful and how Maximilian Kolbe sacrificed his life. So you get the point. I'm talking about how Mass can be too antiseptic and too clean and too pretty. It really is about sacrifice and about blood and about giving and about cost. And as Jesus said, count the cost. You know who my heroes are? My heroes are priests and bishops and the Pope. You know, Pope Benedict didn't really want to become Pope. You know, many people think he did. But the man, what is he? He's 79 years old. Can you imagine, you know, some of you are that age, can you imagine at your age becoming Pope of the Catholic Church? 79 years old, you know, think about your energy level. You know, it's hard enough just to get up and, you know, do a few things and then go to bed. He's leading the church. You know, to me, he's a hero. You know, I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but I do with most of it. But he's a hero. Look at him. And look at Pope John Paul II, how people loved him, his energy, his zeal. And my heroes and heroines also are youth ministers who are willing to work with our teenagers. You know, that's hard. You know, sometimes they're from another planet. You know, they look at you funny, and they dress funny, and they look funny. And, you know, I try to preach to them, and they kind of, you know, tilt their heads at you. Well, you know, these folks are getting in the trenches and helping these kids. And my heroes and heroines are those of you who work with St. Vincent de Paul, who speak out against abortion, who speak out against pornography, who maintain your values in the course of this world. And, you know, everything is supposed to be relative, the world says. Well, it's not relativism. There are absolute truths, and we have to stand for truth. That's why I love that first reading. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And we're gospel people, and we have to stand for truth, no matter what the cost is. And That's being a living sacrifice. That's what Mass is. Your pastor, Father Tim, and Father Larry have both spoken to me about your stewardship program that's happening. I guess they've already hit you pretty hard on the treasure part, you know, the money. And now they're going to start to talk more about time and talent. And so I thought, as a part of the mission, I'd just put in my little plug for this too. And those of you who are listening by tape, please, in your parishes also. And that simply means that many of you are already involved. Like last night, you had that supper for the hungry and for the poor while the mission was going on. I talked to a person that wanted to be here last night but couldn't be because they were serving the poor. And God bless them. You know, I'm so glad that they were doing that. You know, instead of just, you know, being at a place where they could absorb and get, although the talk was really important, they were giving, and I'm sure God will bless them as they need it. So, you know, many of you are already involved. You know, there's so kinds of Eucharistic ministers and lectors and ushers, and I have all these hosts up on the altar here. Many of you are going to be taking them to nursing homes after. That's awesome, and I encourage you to keep that up. Some of you are not involved. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty here, but if you want to get something out of the Mass, you've got to give something into the Mass. You have to be a living sacrifice. I remember 2 weeks ago, I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I was preaching there, and a woman came up to me. She had an oxygen tank, and she had one of those tubes up her nose, both nostrils. And she said, "Father, I've lost my purpose." And I sat with her, and I said, "I know you're older, and I know you're disabled, but you can still help people, and you will find your purpose." And I said, "You go to Father and ask him where you can help, and he'll help you to help others." And that's our purpose. Our purpose isn't to live for self. It's to live for others, and that's how we find ourself. And Jesus said, you know, of course, if you die to self, you're going to find yourself. If you lose yourself, you will find yourself, you know, that whole thing. And that's the gospel. So, you know, again, this morning as we continue our time of retreat, you're never too old to have a dream. You're never too young to see a vision. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I just want you to get more out of your walk with the Lord and realize what this is that we celebrate. I know I have beautiful garments on and everything, but really, this is all about Calvary. And if you saw that movie, The Passion of the Christ, you realize what that was and what it is that we're celebrating here, that Jesus gave everything for you and for me, and we're called to do the same, to be a living sacrifice through him, with him, and in him. The words of St. Francis of Assisi attributed to him: "Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in giving of ourselves that we receive. It is in dying that we're born to eternal life." Please rise.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.